My name is Lei Han. I'm a Stanford engineer, Wharton MBA, and have about 15 years of business experience. I'm here to help you work smart and achieve more. This podcast is a live one-on-one coaching discussion. The topic is how to negotiate your contract rate and vacation time. For more career advice, visit my website at www.bemycareercoach.com. On with the podcast.
So hi, Susie. Thank you for your email. I understand that you want to talk about how to transition into contracting from full-time work. And from your email, I saw that you want to talk about a little bit about how to negotiate a contract as well as how to fit sort of your vacation timing with negotiating a contract in case they want you to start before then. Is that kind of cover the two questions you want to talk about today?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I assume you're talking to them and they're interested already and you just want to know kind of what should be a good ballpark rate you need to think about.
Yeah, so I think about the rate, any terms I should be sure to put in the contract, sort of what to expect. If there's, again, any other questions that I should be asking, this new manager who I'd be working with.
Okay. Well, just from a rate standpoint, usually the rule of thumb for contracting is 1.5 to 2 times your salary in an hourly basis. So if you think about 2,000 hours is how much you work full time, then, you take your salary divided by 2,000, that's your hourly rate, you multiply by 1.5, that's probably what the market can bear right now. 2.0 is when, we were in a bubble, probably less likely. No, and some people may take even less than 1.5 depending on sort of what you can negotiate and whether they can, handle the rate or not.
Okay.
So that's kind of a ballpark. The reason being two things. One, when you're a full-time employee, your health insurance covered by them. Usually companies pay a good 80% of that and you only pay 20%. So that's one thing that you're trying to cover with a contract rate. Two, you usually have to pay self-employment tax, which is also another 15%. And so between those two, if you get 1.3, 1.4 times your current salary, you pretty much cover the extra insurance you have to pay for. As well as the self-employment tax. So that's kind of why contractors could get more. And also, obviously, there's a risk of how long the contract is. The shorter the contract, you want your rates to be a little bit higher. The longer the contract, if it becomes even over a year or 18 months, then because you don't have to spend that time looking for work, you can think about negotiating and allowing for a little bit more leeway to reach a common ground so that you can get the contract. So those are really the key considerations. Obviously, you're making a career move as well from full-time to contracting, so you got to think about whether this is a good move for you personally, career-wise. Assuming you have done that, it's more just about understanding contracting. A lot of contracts I've seen, most people don't sign up for contracts less than 6 months. It's just wise, so that way you don't have to keep selling yourself to try to get more contracts. The longest contracts I've seen is probably more like 18 months. A lot of companies don't really sign up for more than that. And sometimes they start with, hey, let's do 6 months, but there's a potential up to 18 months. But then we have a hard stop because we require contractors to take a 3 to 6 month break, for example, before we hire them again. Otherwise, there's no difference between a full-time employee and a contract other than you make more, which will be the bad incentive for companies to start creating that structure. So that's why that's in place. So in terms of your question regarding timing of vacation, it's just like any kind of full-time employment too. It's you got vacation that's scheduled already, just something that you discuss and let them know. Because if especially they're interested in you long-term, a two-week vacation is not going to really affect the work. And as soon as they express interest, like, hey, we're really interested in talking to you about this, then you want to give them the heads up because unless you're willing to move your vacation, you really want to give them the information early. And any work should be worked around it. I strongly believe in taking vacation when you have it scheduled, and really there's got very few reasons to move it, and especially starting out a new relationship. Your vacation says is in April, and so it's already February. Sometimes contracts take a while. You can always offer to say, hey, I can ramp up first and then start after my vacation, or I can start and then. It's about working it out and sort of communicating and seeing what they come back with. But most people should be good with predetermined, like pre-scheduled stuff that you had in your calendar before you talk to them, right? And so that's just a matter of just having you go back and forth and see what their concerns are and see if there's other ways you can address that concern without cutting your vacation and see what they come up with as well. Do you have any questions about those two things I talked about?
No, I think that definitely makes sense. I guess one sort of point of clarification, you had mentioned that for a six-month contract versus like a year-long or an 18-month contract that you might want to ask for a higher rate. What would you say would be the difference? Would it be like the 1.5 versus the 2, what you were talking about? Or?
Actually, no. 6 months or greater, you're pretty much looking at probably the same rate. The example I was talking about was more like an 8-week contract, a 3-month contract. Anything over that, longer term, it already gives you some sense of security. Unless you want an 18-month contract and you want that badly, you can first ask for it at the same rate as the 6 months, and if they don't give it to you, you can say, well, I can give you a 10% discount if you can secure me for 18 months. That's usually the way it goes. It rarely goes the other way, right? Like if they give you an 18-month contract, you're not going to say, well, I'll take it for 6 months and I'll, you know, if you can pay me 20% more. That doesn't make sense, right?
Right.
But if they came to you and said, hey, we only have a 3-month contract, here's the rate, and it's pretty low, you can then start talking about how about if we make it 6 months and at this rate. And that's kind of how you have the conversation. Or they might say, hey, it's set for 3 months, but really it could be longer, and it's based on performance and stuff like that. You just have to gauge on the risk you're taking. Because sometimes I go into a client that I trust and I understand. They said, we only got budget until the end of the year. It's only 2 months left. So, but we'll have new budget meetings, and if everything goes well, we'll keep you as long as we can. And if you trust that, which depending on talking to other contractors in the company or just who your client is, then, you know, you don't want to kind of also get too nitty gritty on money if you're already kind of okay with it. Because I've been in that situation where I started in at 8 weeks and 2 months, and then I was there for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And also, it depends on what other choices you got, right? And it really is independent with the situation that you're in.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, great. Bye-bye, Susie.
Okay. Bye.